On Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 53, the most gruesome trivia question in Acoustic Tuesday history, a way to make your guitar work when you're not even playing it, and some crucial advice that just may save your guitar's life. All that and more right after this.
If you believe that playing acoustic guitar is about sharing the joy of music with friends and family, not just mastering the technical side of playing, then this show is your dream come true. Every Tuesday morning, I give you my list of exciting guitar geek discoveries, gear, and new music so you can stay inspired to live your best acoustic life. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite.
Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 53. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek-filled list for this week. And before I dive into that, I've got something very special for you. The most gruesome trivia question that has ever graced the Acoustic Tuesday screen. So here is your guitar geek trivia. Which blues musician used the name Walter Boyd after escaping from the Harrison County chain gang, which he was sentenced to after being convicted of carrying a pistol? Was it A, Blind Boy Fuller, B, Lead Belly, C, Blind Willie McTell, or D, Skip James? Go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 53. I am so pumped you are here. We are so pumped you are here. And of course, when I say we, I'm referring to none other than Sir Noah Jacob Heckman Jr., the first. Noah, good
Tony?
Morning, sir.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I am absolutely fantastic today. I've got my Hodag mug. I've got my tribute to The Shining. I'm feeling great today. How about yourself?
Glad to hear it. I am feeling great as well.
Awesome.
I feel accomplished. I feel like I'm focused, and I'm ready to just absorb all the guitar geekiness that you have for us today.
Well, let me tell you, this list is, I've got quite a substantial amount of notes on this list. So I think we should dive in. I'm going to try and sift through this, and I'm going to try and read some of my writing, which is a task in and of itself.
I know, I've tried.
First up on today's list, you know, when you get a new guitar, they use terms like, oh, it's stiff, or it needs to open up, right? And I think this is a real thing, because I've noticed, I just purchased a Thompson Dreadnought guitar with cube mahogany back and sides. I think I showed it off on episode 50 of Acoustic Tuesday. But that's a new guitar, and it felt a little stiff when I first got it, in that it wanted to be resonant, but it just wasn't quite giving its all. It still sounded good, don't get me wrong, but it's just a new guitar. And this led me down a road, because I was talking to Matt over at Eddie's Guitars, and he said, man, have you ever tried the Tone-Rite device? And I said, no, I haven't. In fact, I've been a little bit of a skeptic of it. I'll tell you more about the Tone-Rite here in a second. And Matt replied, he said, you know, I've got a couple customers that have used it to great success. And then it totally piqued my interest, because Matt is a trusted source, and I thought, well, gosh, his customers are using it. Maybe I should give it a shot. So I reached out to the folks at Tone-Rite, specifically G, and I want to thank G because he sent a Tone-Rite for me to try. He actually sent a couple. So I used the Tone-Rite. Really cool. It comes in this kind of really classy box. It is a small... It's just a small plastic square that sits on the strings of your guitar right above the bridge. And there's a little turning wheel that adjusts the frequency of the vibration. And I'll tell you what, my results were pretty awesome. I got to be honest. I am pretty blown away. So here's what I did. I got these Tone-Rites and I set up my Maple OM Martin guitar. It's a custom guitar, bird's eye maple back and sides, a Swiss spruce top. And then I set up my Thompson Dreadnought with the Tone-Rite device, and I let them run for, gosh, no, I'd let them run for probably about a week and a half, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You
about
were coming.
That long. I about drove me crazy, but yeah, about a week.
But I just let them run here at the studio. They were hanging on the wall and literally uninterrupted, except for, say, maybe two or three filming sessions that lasted for maybe a half an hour, an hour. So I just let them run. And then a week later, after the start date, I went ahead and pulled the Tone-Rite off, and I was pretty pleased with the results. And let me give you the first results. So the Thompson, right? New guitar, fairly tight, a little stiff when I first got it. my observations of the Tone-Rite at that point, the Tone-Rite's effect on the Thompson, was that it made the guitar much more lively and much more resonant. And I say this because upon playing the Thompson after using the Tone-Rite, the neck was vibrating. Like I could really feel it in my fretting hand. In even tuning it, you know, I'd hit the low E string to tune it, and I could feel that vibration clear through the tuning peg. And I'm not talking a little bit, I'm talking a noticeable difference. And in terms of that guitar's responsiveness, I noticed that immediately, that the guitar just kind of came alive. It just woke up. Now, let's go to the Maple Martin, because this particular guitar is one that I've had for probably three or four years. That guitar completely came alive. Now, I thought it was pretty opened up. That guitar in and of itself is pretty responsive, and I've been playing it for a little bit, so I've had a chance to break it in. The Tone-Rite made this guitar become a total beast. When I thought it couldn't get responsive, more responsive, it did. And I just was totally floored. So between those two guitars, I'm a huge supporter of the Tone-Rite device. Now, yes, the company sent these to me, but I told the guy, I told G when I was on the phone with him, I said, my whole goal with this show is to give accurate reviews. And I'm not going to give a bad review to something. I just simply won't review it if I don't like it. So he sent these Tone-Rites here on that agreement, and that if I didn't like it, no big deal. I just wouldn't review them. Well, here I am giving him the review, and I am so pleased. I really am blown away by the effect that that little contraption had on both of my guitars. So if you have a guitar that you haven't played in a bit, if you have a new guitar, I would strongly at least consider the Tone-Rite. Do your research. You can go to acousticlife.tv/AT53. Click on the Tone-Rite link, and you'll be able to find all the information about the Tone-Rite. And if it sounds like it's something that could help you, please, by all means, give it a try. But I would say that don't be a skeptic unless you've tried it, because it really, trying it out certainly changed my tune on the Tone-Rite. So make sure to check that out. Now, this is the time of the show, Noah, where we go to the mailbag, but unfortunately, the mailbag is empty, and I'm a little bit bummed about that.
Mm-hmm. So, is it empty, Tony?
It's an empty mailbag today, buddy.
For who?
Well, I know what you're up to over there.
Do you?
Yes. I don't have a mailbag. Nothing came addressed to me this week.
That's correct. But guess what?
What, Noah?
A box came addressed to me.
Well, would you congratulations.
Believe? Yeah. So I get to share what I got in the mailbag this week.
Can now, we call it a pity parcel? Sorry. I give you such a hard time. I'm sorry.
So Guy B sent in a little box, which I checked the mail that day and saw the little box with my name on it and just wanted to make sure, because sometimes, you know, I order personal stuff and it'll come here, and that makes sense. But this one said, you know, TAC headquarters, care of Noah Heckman. So I'm like, what is this? So I open it up, and lo and behold, here's a letter from Guy B, who says, this is Guy in Florida. I'm in episode 36 with the poor man's guitar arsenal.
Cool.
He says, anyway, he says, I sent you, he says, a cheap bottle of scotch. So I got some Dewars here. He says, you can always wash out paintbrushes with it if you want. He says, I was just getting tired of Tony in the mailbag and nothing for you. So cheers to you. So in honor of Guy thinking of me, I'm drinking some Dewars today. So cheers to you, Guy. And he also sent with that this. It's like a fisherman's deal. He's a fisherman, and he does this thing where he gets catfish skulls and bleaches them white, and they're kind of like a treasure.
I think that is cool.
And he sent me one. So I got that. So I got some Scotch, Tony, and I got a cool sun-bleached catfish skull.
Well, you know, this just goes to prove every dog has its day. Just kidding.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Noah. That's got an awesome story. And I'm glad that Guy sent that in and referenced the episode that he was in. I remember the Guitar Arsenal picture. Pretty awesome stuff.
Yeah, pretty cool. Thank you, Guy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm gonna move on, because we got some yes. Major Guitar Arsenals that we gotta talk about right now.
We could keep talking about the mailbag. I mean, I did get a mail item.
Well, the first guitar arsenal that I want to have everybody look at right now is from Toby. He's over in Essex in the UK, and he got pretty nerdy, pretty guitar geeky on his description. So there's Toby in a shirt, and then, of course, his guitar collection. He says, on the left side, and this guitar is named the OG. It's a Stag S300 Strat with maple neck and rosewood fretboard. And then he includes a separate category on his description, nerdy stuff. 3 single coil pickups on a 5-way switch. On the back center, we've got a guitar named Johnny. That's a Washburn WLD10S. Full-size dreadnought with mahogany neck, back, and sides. Spruce top and a rosewood fretboard. On the right, this guitar is lovingly named Little John. This is an Encore 340 FT, 3/4 size. It's got a laminate body and a maple neck. And right front and center, we've got Mia. That's an Ibanez ASV-10A Artcore Vintage full size. It's a mahogany neck, bound rosewood fretboard with aged white block inlay, and of course, the obligatory guitar nerdy stuff. It's 2 humbucker pickups on a 3-way switch. So I want to thank you, Toby, for sending in your guitar arsenal. And then next up, we've got Shane B. from Bristol, Tennessee. And holy smokes, when I saw this picture, first of all, I was blown away at the sheer amount of guitars, and then I was terrified because I had to go through and name them all. And in fact, Shane, in his message, he said, let's see if I can name them all. So here goes nothing. Here we go. From the top left, a G&L ASAT Classic, a 1960s K open back 5-string banjo, a 1960s K N2 archtop, a Washburn mandolin, a 1970s K K520 hummingbird, a Cremona HV100 violin, a 1970s K442, a Kentucky KM620B mandolin, an Epiphone DR200 natural, and a 1980s K resonator banjo. The center row from left, a 1986 Cort AJ982. He says, I got this for Christmas in 1986 when I was 13. It is the one that started it all. Next up, a Blue Ridge BR343 Triple O Gospel model and a Cort Gold D6 Natural. On the ground, starting on the left, a Fender American Standard Telecaster, a Fender Mexican Telecaster, a Squire Telecaster, a G&L Tribute ASAT Special, a 1980s Silvertone Stratocaster, a 1990s Crafter Cruiser Stratocaster copy, an Epiphone ES-339 Pro, a Squire child-sized Telecaster, that is for his 7-year-old daughter, a 1960s Harmony H804, that one's mostly hidden, a Gretsch G5420 Electromatic, a 1960s Regent Hollowbody, a 2017 Martin D35, a 1960s Woolworth Audition Parlor Guitar, a Siegel M4 Merlin Dulcimer, 2016 Martin D16 GT, that's his go-to guitar, a circa 1930 Regal Parlor Guitar Recording King RPS7LTS Dirty 30 Single O Lily of the Valley, that's his secondary go-to guitar, says especially in drop D and dadgad tuning, a Washburn R318 SDWK, a vintage series limited edition parlor guitar, a Martin OX2 MAE, a 2016 Martin 00015 SM. He goes on to say, I have several other vintage department store guitars that aren't in the picture. I seem to be drawn to them. He says, luckily, however, my guitar arsenal is almost complete. I only need one more guitar. In true guitar geek fashion. I want to thank both Toby and Shane for sharing your guitar arsenals with us. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, gosh, I'd love to share my guitar arsenal, please do. It's super easy. 3 simple steps. First, get yourself a guitar arsenal shirt. There's a link right beneath this show. Go ahead and order your color, your size, and have it shipped right to your door. Second, wear that shirt and take a picture with all of your instruments. That could include even pets, family members, whomever is involved in your guitar journey. Please include them. And last, but certainly not least, and probably the most important, go to acousticlife.tv, click submit in the upper menu, and you'll see a spot where you can submit your picture and description of your guitar arsenal, and then you'll be included on a future episode of Acoustic Tuesday. All right, and speaking of guitar geeks and being included, this next item comes from an Acoustic Tuesday viewer. Ray Rodriguez recommended that we listen to this next artist. Now, Ray is from, I'm going to try my best to pronounce this, Noah, Mililani, Hawaii. And he recommended that we listen to John Paul White. Now, if you're not familiar with that name, let me just say the name, the Civil Wars. Okay, so John Paul White was the male counterpart of the Civil Wars. Acoustic duo, male and female, was Joy Williams and John Paul White. They've obviously since stopped performing and recording together, but John Paul White is a singer-songwriter in his own right, and wow. His stuff is truly amazing. In fact, that's exactly what Ray said about John Paul White. He said, amazing singer and amazing songwriter. What I love about John Paul White is his voice is, you look at him, he's a very dapper looking gentleman. He almost has a Johnny Depp feel to him. And you don't imagine the voice that comes out of his mouth to be his voice, but it is. It's absolutely glorious. And he plays a mean guitar. In fact, the guitar he plays is one that I really like. More on that in a second, but first let's listen to the song Once and Future Queen by John Paul White.
Put you in a fairy tale where you were meant to be. Someone won't be me.
And of course, you can learn more about John Paul White at acousticlife.tv/AT53. Just click on the John Paul White link and you'll be able to check out more songs, more samples. There's some really great stuff on there. And you'll have access to the Acoustic Tuesday Spotify playlist, which of course, John Paul White will be involved in as well. That's a great playlist. You have to check it out. Make sure to follow it. It's really full of amazing stuff. Well, it contains all of the Acoustic Tuesday artists on it. It's a Spotify playlist of all Acoustic Tuesday artists. Plenty of listening to be had there. Now, again, about John Paul White. He has this knack for playing subtle guitar parts, and his voice just kind of weaves in there. It's truly lovely. And so far, he's got two solo albums out. The first is called The Long Goodbye. That one's really cool because it's printed on cardstock, and it looks like it's printed like hand printed, almost stamped. So I really like the artsy vibe of that album, and of course the songs on it are awesome as well. The second album, his newest album, is called Beulah, and that one is delightful. Really, truly, it's a treat to listen to front to back. And I was on his website doing a little research, and it turns out that Beulah has a bunch of different definitions, and in fact, on his site, it shares with everybody what it means to him and why he named his album Beulah. So a lot of cool family stories in there. But speaking of stories, well, one more second on that. I got some cool info on his guitar that I want to share with you. I also found another album that John Paul White was featured on, and that is an album by Lara Lynn. And the album is entitled Plays Well With Others, and John Paul White makes an appearance on the song Lose Myself. And that one you can listen to at acousticlife.tv/AT53 as well. It's a treat to hear John Paul White play with a female voice. It's pretty awesome. Now, on to his guitar, because we are guitar geeks. Now, John Paul White plays what I think is an amazing sounding Martin 0018. And he got asked that very specific question when he was interviewed by Elixir Strings at a sound check. So let's actually take a look at that right now.
This guitar is a 0018, 1957, 56, 57, and just kind of crest. And was given to me when I was a kid, given to my dad to be more specific. A friend of my dad was in bad health, had no heirs. And there was four kids in our family. He said, surely one of them will play. So gave us the guitar, sat in my closet till I was 16. And I tried to sell it because I wanted an Ibanez, you know, so I could shred. Even though I didn't know how to play guitar at all, I knew what look I wanted. And luckily the guy that owned the shop was a friend. And he said, you don't even know what that is, do you? I said, I know I can't do two-hand tapping on it. So he said, well, hang on, let me date it, let me see. And then, you know, convinced me to hang on to it. And so it's the only guitar I've ever held on to all my life. And I've written virtually every song I've ever written has been on this guitar. It's, I would venture to say it shapes what I write and vice versa. I think because certain things sound good when played on this guitar, I tend to lean toward them, and my guitar playing, you know, is probably shaped by this guitar too, because, you know, certain things intrigue me when they come out of this sound hole, so I tend.
All right, so that was a cool guitar moment shared by John Paul White. Love learning the history of the guitar. I love the fact that he held on to the guitar. I mean, that's important. That shop owner deserves a gold medal, a star, a trophy, whatever they give kids these days. That's what that shop owner needs for convincing John that he needed to keep that guitar. Now, of course, you can catch that whole interview. Just go to acousticlife.tv/AT53. You can check out the performances. You can buy his albums and, of course, see that full interview. And remember, any purchase that you make from acousticlife.tv, those are affiliate links. So we get a percentage of that sale. And we pass that percentage directly on to Guitars for Vets as a full-on donation. And so just by going to acousticlife.tv, you can support Guitars for Vets, and that makes everybody pretty much a winner because we can all be guitar geeks and also help unite guitar geeks. Now, so far, I want to know what you think about the show today. So please, in the comments below, let us know what you think. Say hi and make sure to include where you're tuning in from. And of course, while you're doing that, don't forget to subscribe to this YouTube channel. Just click that red subscribe button and don't forget to hit that little gray bell. That'll give you a video or a notification of each new video that comes out. And of course, you can get Acoustic Tuesday delivered directly to your email, which is what most folks do. There's a link right in the description. Just click on that and you'll be sure to never miss an episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Now, speaking of comments and shout outs and such, Noah, I know you want to spread the guitar geek love.
That's what I'm here for.
All right. Well, by all means, spread it like peanut butter.
All right.
Or butter, regular butter.
All right. So this week's shout outs, first one goes to Ron from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Then we got Mickey Yu from Cartersville, Georgia.
Cool.
Next goes to Robert C. from our nation's capital, as he says, home of the cray cray faux show. next goes to Trollst Jerne, a regular AT viewer from Norway.
Oh, yeah, cool.
JC says, greetings, fellow guitar geeks from Gilbert, Arizona. We got JG, hello from Atlanta. James M, hi again from Dover, Pennsylvania. Awesome. Cheers. We have on, I'm going to try this. It's, Onesmo Kasongo, tuning in from Warangal, India.
Cool. Yeah. Cheer, man, wow.
Then we had Russ L. He says, late but made it. Shout from Newark, California.
Awesome.
And then we have David B., who says, digging Acoustic Tuesday indeed. So genuine, no hidden motives, just guitar geekiness and good people.
Oh, cool.
Keep it up and congrats on your baby's 1-year anniversary.
Oh, yeah. Are you still recovering from last week's party?
I'm definitely still recovering from last week. In case you missed it, you may want to go back and check out last week's Acoustic Tuesday.
Yeah, it's an important milestone in Acoustic Tuesday history. It's our 52nd episode and our birthiversary, as we're referring to it. And well, let's just say that there was bourbon involved, scotch was involved,
and cake
was involved.
Yes.
Which I later, this is a side note, for the viewers at home, I had a gig that evening, so I had to leave almost right after we filmed Acoustic Tuesday last week. And I keep a lot of my gear here. You know, it splits time between my house and here. Anyways, I was dropping it off because we were filming again in the morning, and I saw that Noah had left the cake after I specifically instructed him to take it home because I lack self-control around cake-like items. And I just proceeded to, I didn't even cut myself a piece. I just started eating out of it, out of the cake box. It was delicious. So thanks for that moment, Noah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And I don't know why I kept forgetting it. I definitely could have gotten rid of all of it at home.
Yeah. Six kids, you would have been the hero.
Yeah.
They would have been like, whose birthday is it? Like, we don't care.
Yeah. Well, it was just my daughter's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
We already had cake and, you know.
That's fair.
We're already crazy, and so last thing I need is more sugar in my house.
Sugar blast, yeah.
So, Tony,
yes.
Those are shout-outs for this week.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Noah. I certainly appreciate that. And, of course, please leave your comment below. And, again, please include where you're tuning in from. It is so cool to see that we're uniting guitar geeks, not just in the U.S., but all over the place. I mean, we had Norway. We had India. We've had South America. I want to say we've had Australia. We've probably hit every continent.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's people watching, is it Antarctica? Am I wrong? Antarctica, is that the one on the bottom? The ice-covered one?
Yes, that's correct.
If you're watching from there, then that we need to know. So anyways, please leave a comment and please include where you're tuning in from. I had a geography blank there for a second. But don't fret. I'm diving back into the guitar geekiness, okay? This next item is, there's a luthier up in Madison, Wisconsin that you probably don't know about. His name is Todd Cambio. I had to make sure that I said that correctly. Todd Cambio of Madison, Wisconsin. Now, you might be thinking, nah, that name doesn't ring a bell. But let me ask you this. Does the name Fraulini Guitars ring a bell? Because Todd Cambio is behind Fraulini Guitars. Now, here's the cool thing about Todd. Todd, according to his website, I was reading the biography in the About section, and he's essentially been a musician for a large portion of his life. He's busked on the streets of Chicago, played with some of the old-time blues players, and he had this has this love for those kind of department store style guitars. I mean, think of any old blues musician that you see pictured with kind of a funky guitar. That's what Todd loves, and lucky for us guitar geeks, that's exactly what Todd makes. Todd specializes in these vintage-inspired ladder-braced guitars. So think bluesy, think thumpy, think barky guitars that really excel in kind of that ragtime finger-picking style. Now, Todd has a whole slew of models available, and they're gorgeous. I mean, everything from plain parlor guitar type looking things, all the way to, you know, we've got fancy kind of inlaid pick guards with funky shapes, just overall beautiful, beautiful guitars. I mean, even the label on the guitars is gorgeous. He even has some with the decal, that kind of old vintage style decal on them. I mean, they're stunning. They're, you'd swear that they are directly from the 20s, the 30s. But these guitars are gorgeous. And I heard Charlie Parr play one, and that's what kind of perked my ears up to Fraulini Guitars. Then I did some research, and I found some friends, to be quite honest. In fact, I've talked a lot about these Fraulini guitars, but I want you to hear them. So first up, we've got Joel Patterson. Now, Joel Patterson, I believe, at least to the best of my knowledge, is from Chicago, Illinois. I used to run into him at the Old Town School often, and he was here demoing a Fraulini guitar. So let's have a listen to Joel play a Fraulini guitar. Just the six string end of the spectrum. Todd Fraulini Guitars also makes beautiful 12 strings. In fact, he makes a replica of Lead Belly's 12 string. Now, you're going to get a chance to hear this, but I want you to notice how big this guitar is. So let's have a listen to the Lead Belly 12 string. And then next up, another 12 string. I believe this is a remake or an inspired by a 12 string. Let me reverse that. This is a 12 string inspired by who I believe Lonnie Johnson's 12 string, played by Charlie Parr, next to some chickens. And you can't beat that. So let's have a listen. So I want to encourage you to check out Todd's guitars, Fraulini guitars. Just go to acousticlife.tv/AT53. You'll see a full write-up. Those video demos will be there. And of course, a link to Todd's website. And if you have any kind of interest in getting a custom guitar made, Todd seems to be up for the challenge because he seems to just take these vintage guitars and make these cool replicas. So if you have a project for him, make sure to contact him. He really does outstanding work. Like I said, I had a chance to personally hear and see Charlie's guitar, and it just sounded awesome. It has this this thrash and just grit that you want out of a ladder braced blues style guitar. So yeah, make sure to check out Fraulini Guitars. Now, finding those was a small win, Noah, for me. And oh, I know that since you're spreading guitar geek love, I just picture you on like a float in a parade, just spreading guitar geek love this way and that. Tossing guitar geek love out to the kids and the adults alike.
Well, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing there with the small win.
Yeah, I'm setting you up.
You are. And I'm ready to knock it out of the park with small wins this week.
All right.
All right, and here we are. This week's small wins. First up, we have Reese M. Last Saturday, I changed the strings on my guitar. While I have done this before, this was the first time I managed to clean my guitar. I followed Tony's advice on cleaning the guitar and used steel, wool, and razors to get the gunk off the neck and give it a good buff. Then I used fretboard oil and guitar polish to give the instrument a nice sheen. I've owned my guitar for about 2 years, but I've never seen it looking so nice.
Awesome. That's great to hear. A quick disclaimer.
Yes.
He used steel wool and razors the way that I prescribed them. I have another video out there.
Correct.
He didn't just clean the guitar with steel wool and razors.
Right.
That's awesome. I love the fact that you used that video and your guitar looks awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Next small win comes from Turtley. I got to see Wayne Henderson play in Geneva, New York at the Smith Opera House. Small
win. That's awesome. That is so cool. Yeah, Wayne's a great guitar builder and a fine, fine picker for sure.
And our next and last small win for today, Tony, comes from Chad M. He says, hello from Archdale, North Carolina. He says, my small win, last weekend I found a new music venue and took my daughter to see an awesome show by the bluegrass band Sideline.
Cool.
Found out that the Honey Dewdrops are scheduled to appear there in September and hope to go back to see them.
Stellar. That's awesome. Very cool. We've got a little family concert outing, guitar geekiness. I love it.
Yes.
You have more guitar geek love for us, Noah?
Tony, I do have more guitar geek love. That was small wins for today.
Oh, okay.
But we did have an onslaught of, you know, your guitar geek wins come in.
Oh, fantastic.
And so I know we've been searching for the last few weeks, and now they have come in on force.
There's been a revival.
So the first one comes from Mickey U. You know you're a guitar geek when you have more guitars hanging on the walls of your home than family pictures.
That's good. I like that a lot. That's real good.
Robert C. says, you know you're a guitar geek when you sign in to Tony's Acoustic Challenge, navigate to the day's lesson, start noodling around on the guitar while Tony introduces the lesson or tells a story, and find you need to restart the lesson because you've noodled on the guitar all the way through it and missed the lesson. It might have happened more than once.
I am so guilty of that. Because, I mean, as a guitar geek, I've checked out a bunch of other learning sites. And it's funny, you press play on the lesson, you just start playing away, and then pretty soon you're like, oh, shoot, I got to go back and start it over again.
Is that kind of like when you're trying so hard to read a book and you end up reading a paragraph like five times because you read it and you don't even remember what you read?
Yeah, it's like you're just looking at the letters and nothing's getting absorbed.
Oh, man. Okay, next one comes from Scott H., who says, who's from the San Francisco Bay Area, says, you know your guitar geek when you dig into the closet on a cool winter night looking for an extra blanket, but you can't get to the pile of blankets or anything else for that matter because of all the guitar cases, stands, and other guitar paraphernalia you got in there.
That's a really good one and so true.
All right, a few more, Tony. Next one comes from Ron M. You know you're a guitar geek when you name your kids Eddie, Stevie Ray, or Jimmy.
Nice, nice. Some guitar hero influence name.
Next one comes from Rod A. You know you're a guitar geek when your neighbor and yourself are playing, and then all of a sudden you wonder why the sunrise happened so quickly. That's a good one.
That's both a great and very bad feeling.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's just been like, man, we've been playing. This is awesome. And then it's the realization kicks in. You're like, oh, I'm going to be so tired.
Yeah. Toast. And our last one for today, Tony, comes from JC. You know you're a guitar geek when getting dressed, your choice of guitar t-shirt depends on the venue that you will be attending. Examples. Formal would be the Guitar Signal t-shirt. Business wear may be a Preston Thompson, Wayne Henderson, Collings. Business casual may equal Martin, Gibson. Casual may equal Fender, Takamine. There's a Takamine.
I've said both.
Yeah. Or Excedra. Your mileage may vary. pick on. Thanks, y'all.
That is something. If you read that to Whitney,
yeah,
Noah,
uh-huh,
she would be like, "That's pretty much true." We took our engagement photos last week. I gotta tell this story.
Okay, okay.
Whitney and I are getting married at the end of September, about a month away. Tomorrow I turn 35, Noah. Tomorrow, 35 years old. It's pretty stunning. I know.
What? Say that again.
Tomorrow, I turn 35.
You do?
Yes, the 29th of August. Me, wow, and Michael Jackson and Steve Winslow. Anyways, wow, I digress. What was I even saying? I totally forgot what I was going... Oh, the engagement pictures.
Yes.
What about them, though? Oh, yeah, right. Sorry. So we're getting this wedding plan, and Whitney wanted to do these engagement pictures, and our photographer was like, okay, she's come over. We did them at the house, and I'm looking through the closet, and Whitney's up there, and I was like, in this panic, I was like, Whitney, what the hell do I wear? I literally have one shirt that has buttons up of it, and it's like a flannel.
Yeah.
You know, not, oh,
yeah,
long sleeve.
Yeah.
And it was in the dirty clothes. So luckily, you can't smell through pictures because I wore that shirt.
Okay. That's good.
Thanks for letting me share that.
I thought you were going to say, if you were to share something like that with Whitney about all that, she'd just look at you with a blank stare and be like, what are you talking about?
No, she, I mean.
But it's true. You do show up at TAC HQ with a graphic tee every day.
Every single day.
Yeah. That's okay.
All right. Well, at this point in time, I want to make sure that you guitar geeks are out there enjoying yourselves. And of course, while you're enjoying yourselves during Acoustic Tuesday, please share this show with your fellow guitar geeks. Please, please, please. Send them to acousticlife.tv. Give them a link to your favorite episode, whatever the case may be. The whole point of Acoustic Life or Acoustic Tuesday is to unite guitar geeks. And in doing so, we're trying to get as many guitar geeks together on Tuesdays and, of course, at acousticlife.tv as we possibly can. So please share this show. And while you're at it, share your small wins. And if you can finish that statement, you know you're a guitar geek. When do so in the comments below. Just hashtag small win. Go ahead and describe your small win. Hashtag you know you're a guitar geek. When they're always great to hear and super, super funny. There's a good dose of them this week. Now, I've got one more very important item. And I'm excited because I get to demo some things right here, right now on Acoustic Tuesday. Now, our guitar cases are in many instances life-saving devices. They help us keep our guitars humidified, right? Because it's an enclosed space, that's nice. They help protect our guitars from, you know, knocks and bruises and dings and all sorts of things like that. But our guitar cases can actually cause damage to our guitars. Now, this isn't something you normally think of or a connection you would normally make, but I'm going to share with you five things to not do with your guitar case because, as a guitar geek, I care about the well-being of your guitar, and as guitar geeks, collectively, we should all care about the well-being of everybody's guitars. So, I've got my trusty demo guitar case here. This is actually from Joe and Don R. from Helena, and I want to thank them for this. This was a Christmas gift, but I'm going to use it as a demo right now. So this is our guitar case, right? We got our handle. We got our latches. This is our guitar case. The first thing I don't want you to do with your guitar case is lean it against a wall like that. Why? Well, if it's a slippery surface, it could go like that, right? And you think, well, that's not a big deal. The guitar's in its case. Well, it is a big deal because, yes, your guitar's not getting a ding on it, but just because of the force of that drop, it can actually cause a crack right around the headstock area of your guitar. So please don't lean a guitar case on a wall like that. Worse yet, somebody could knock it forward and it falls face down. If it falls face down, then you might have a crack, again, on the back of the headstock. So just because your guitar is in the case doesn't mean it's protected from everything, right? So just be conscious of how you're orienting the case when you're laying it down. I would just recommend laying it on the floor like that. I've had many instances where my guitar has taken quite a spill just from leaning it against a wall like that. So don't lean it against a wall. Next up, one thing to know is that while your guitar case does protect the guitar, it doesn't necessarily protect it from the environment. Okay, here's an example. You're done playing at your neighbor's house or wherever you're playing. You throw your guitar in the car and think, oh, I just got to run into the store real quick. I'll go ahead and leave my guitar in the car. And it's a summer day. Maybe it's 75, 80 degrees, 90 degrees. Well, just because your guitar's in its case doesn't mean it's safe from the heat that builds up in the car. And the same is true for the cold, right? So the guitar case itself doesn't protect from the outside environment. Yes, it creates a buffer zone, but it can actually cause a lot of harm, right? Just because your guitar is in its case doesn't mean it's protected in this invisible shield manner, right? It still is gonna heat up, it still is gonna cool down, and that can affect the finish. Especially if it gets cold, you can get finish cracks, you can get actually really quick wood cracks on it, and the same thing with heat. Because of that rapid expansion, you can get loosened glue joints, you can get cracks, you can get, you know, it could dehumidify rather rapidly depending on how hot it is. So don't leave your instrument in its case in a car. The case won't protect it from the environment. The third tip I have for you has to do with the latches of your case. Don't ever leave your guitar unlatched, right? Don't ever put your guitar back in its case. All right, here's my little guitar. Oh, I'm done playing, I'm gonna put it back in its case, close the lid, and don't latch it, right? Don't ever not latch the case. Why? Because if you forget and you go to pick it up, you're gonna pick up that guitar and the guitar can fall out of the front of the case and cause not only a really horrible noise to hear, but probably some damage as well. Also, in regard to the latches, one of the things that I would recommend strongly, and this is really for those of you who have maybe those chipboard cases, think like old Gibsons, Stellas, Harmonies, any of those old flimsy like cardboard cases, right? I want you to carry the guitar with the latches towards your body. So as you're holding the guitar case, those latches, the case top should be against your body. Why? Because if those latches happen to let go, at least your body's in the way to catch the guitar. If you carry it with the latches out or the case top out, if those latches let go, your guitar is again gonna fall to the ground. That's something that's easily avoidable if you just carry it with the case top towards your body. I still do this even on my 5-latch hard shell cases. I know that's probably overkill, but you know, you never know. If the latch lets go, I don't want my guitar spilling out on the floor or the ground or the pavement or whatever. So I always carry it with the case lid closed and obviously close to my body. So that is our third tip. The second tip, what not to do with your case, don't leave it in the sun. And you're probably thinking, okay, Tony, you made the temperature point, I get it. I would never leave my guitar in its case in the sun. That's actually not what I'm talking about. Don't leave your guitar case empty in the sun, right? Guitar cases are black. They absorb heat, right? As the sun beats on that case, it's gonna heat up the inside of the case. It might be a cool day. It might be 65 degrees out, 70 degrees out, beautiful summer day, you're playing outside. Your guitar case is in the sun, it's heating up. It's gonna heat up a lot more rapidly because it's black, it's absorbing the heat. You go to put your guitar away and it's kind of cool, 70 degrees into say a 90 degree case, that's a 20 degree temperature fluctuation. So you could run into some finish issues there, some checking just because of that rapid change. So don't leave your case in the sun. I know it seems silly, but we want our guitars to be comfortable and we also want our guitars to go back to a comfortable environment, right? 70 degrees, 75 degrees outside is great, but if it's going back into a 90 degree case, That's a pretty sudden temperature shock. So just be wary of where you store your case when your guitar is not in it. It's very, very important. And last, and probably the most important, the thing I see most often as I see other players and go to different gigs and whatnot, is the number one tip, okay? Don't use your guitar case to change strings. Right, and the common thing is this, right? You lift up the latch, you take the top of your guitar case out, right? You lift up your guitar, the little pick compartment area. You flip up that little hinged door, and then you rest your guitar like that to go ahead and change the strings. That's fine, except for if somebody hits the case top, right? The case could come down on your guitar, and if you've looked at your guitar case, there's these little metal nubs, right? These little metal kind of latches, right? The other part of the latch. Well, they stick past the plane of the guitar case top. So if those come down on your guitar, those latches are gonna dig into the top of your guitar. It's called case bite. It's not something you wanna deal with, right? It's essentially like, it's like a nail going into your guitar. You don't want that. So please don't change your cases, or don't change your strings in your guitar case. If you have to do that, if you're hard up for a place to change your strings, go ahead and take your guitar out and pop it on top of the case. It'll be a lot easier to do that and you won't risk hurting your guitar. Right. And the same is true when you're just taking your guitar out of the case. Be very careful with the very top of it, right? Put one hand on it and then take your guitar out with the other hand, because you don't want that case lid coming down, because it will cause case bite, and that's something that it just, it hurts. It hurts every guitar geek everywhere. It's like when you hear an angel, when you hear a bell ring, an angel gets its wings. Well, when a guitar gets case bite, guitar geeks just hurt a little bit all over the world. So those are five things not to do with your case. Let me give you a quick summary of what those are. Don't lean it on a wall. Just set it nice and stable on the ground. Don't think that because your guitar's in its case, it's protected from everything, right? If your guitar's in its case and it's in a hot car, it's not protected. Be aware of that. And then, of course, make sure to latch your case at all times, whether it's laying flat or whatnot. And of course, in the same regard, make sure you carry the case with its top towards your body. The second is don't leave your case in the sun. I'm talking empty, right? It can create a really hot environment that if you put your guitar back in, it can cause some finish issues. And last but certainly not least, don't change your strings in your guitar case. You don't want case bite. You don't want case bite. You don't want case bite. It's absolutely horrible. So be careful taking your guitar in and out of its case, and certainly don't change your strings with the guitar in its case. So that's that little guitar case 101 that will hopefully save your guitar's life, save it from a ding, save it from some sort of breakage that we certainly don't want as guitar geeks. Now, Noah, you said that you had a case story at one point, right?
Yes, it's true. When we were talking about this beforehand.
Yeah.
And not that this didn't make it on the list, because most people probably are more aware than I am.
But this is a good one. This is a good one to share.
So, you know, maybe I'm old school, I don't know. I come from where your guitar case has three latches, okay?
Right.
Well, you know, there are those other cases that end up having the one that's like on the back end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got like the three in the front where it opens, and then you got the one more
around
the back. Well, I unknowingly went to open a case that had that fourth latch, and I just did my normal deal. You know, just boom, 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 one, two, three, and then just went ahead to... And I broke it.
You broke the latch off the back?
Broke the latch. Yeah. Just you think I might have known a little bit with the resistance, but I just went for it.
Well,
just flip, 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 crank. And that's my case story.
Oh, and that's your bonus tip. Know how many latches are on your case, right?
Fantastic. I love it. That's exactly right. This was meant to be a bonus tip the whole time.
I appreciate you sharing that. That is actually really helpful. I've done the same thing. I have.
Thanks for letting me share that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, that puts Acoustic Tuesday episode 53 in the books, but we do have to revisit your trivia question, because I'm sure you want to know what the answer is. So let's quickly review your Guitar Geek trivia. Here was the question. Which blues musician used the name Walter Boyd after escaping from the Harrison County chain gang, which he was sentenced to after being convicted of carrying a pistol? Was it A, Blind Boy Fuller, B, Leadbelly, C, Blind Willie McTell, or D, Skip James? Well, if you answered B, Leadbelly, you are absolutely correct. Leadbelly was imprisoned multiple times, beginning in 1915 when he was convicted of carrying a pistol and sentenced to time on the Harrison County chain gang. He later escaped and found work in nearby Bowie County under the assumed name of Walter Boyd. The list goes on. In January 1918, he was imprisoned after killing one of his relatives in a fight over a woman. During the second prison term, another inmate stabbed him in the neck, leaving him with a huge scar, which he subsequently covered with a bandana. So if you see any pictures of Leadbelly with a bandana, he was hiding his scar. However, in 1925, he was pardoned and released, get this, after writing a song to Governor Pat Morris Neff seeking his freedom. In 1930, Leadbelly was sentenced to prison again for attempted homicide. And in 1939, yes, one more, Leadbelly served his final jail term for assault after stabbing a man in a fight in Manhattan. That is quite the rap sheet on one of my favorite blues players of all time. But awesome guitar geek trivia nonetheless. Maybe a little gruesome, but I think we all need to know. So that definitely puts Acoustic Tuesday episode 53 in the books. Let's go ahead and take a sneak peek into next week, see what's coming up on Acoustic Tuesday. We're going to look at a guitar whose namesake traces back to the blues. That'll be very cool. Guitar experiments will continue. I've got a lot of stuff coming into the studio lately, so I'm excited to share it with you all. And a real-life blaze of glory. So we'll have to you'll have to tune in next week to figure out what the hell I'm even talking about. And don't forget to catch Acoustic Tuesday every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time on YouTube. And of course, for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please go to acousticlife.tv. You can find all sorts of cool write-ups, extra videos, bonus videos. The Spotify playlist is there. There is a ton of guitar geekiness waiting for you at acousticlife.tv. Please go there. And remember, if you see any buy links on any of the products I review or any albums you want to get, those buy links are affiliate links. We get a percentage of that sale, and we pass that percentage directly on to Guitars for Vets as a donation. So just by being a guitar geek, going to acousticlife.tv, buying a cool album, a capo, a pick, whatever the case may be, you're actually contributing to Guitars for Vets, which is pretty awesome because that organization is all about uniting guitar geeks under the banner of the healing power of music, which is something, of course, we can all get behind. So from Noah, from myself, we wish you the best Tuesday you possibly can have. And of course, we'll see you next Tuesday on Acoustic Tuesday. Cheers to you.
That you walk in, happy ever after. Finally begin someone who's stopping nothing to give you all you